So Genesis 18 this morning, and happy Father's Day to all the fathers. Praise God for fathers. Amen. My father's still alive, and I praise the Lord for him. And I'm sure you praise the Lord for your dad. So all dads, please stand. Come on. That's even you, Kelvin. Amen. Stand. All fathers. Let's go. And let's give all fathers a hand. Very good. Amen. I like it that Michael stood. Praise God. That's good. January, right? Amen. That's good. So Genesis 18, what we have here is a beautiful example of fatherhood in the person of Abraham. Abraham, of course, a man after God's own heart, a friend of God, and we'll see in this passage why that is the case. And it's because he was a great man, he was a great father. So we'll start in verse 16. The Bible says, "And the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." So I know him, God said. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray you'd use your word now to teach us and to grow us and to convict us, whatever the need might be. But we're thankful for your word and its power. And may we open our hearts to hear from you and respond. We're so thankful for our fathers and their leadership and their strength. And Lord, we're thankful that you've allowed the privilege to have children and be fathers. And today, as we honor fathers, Lord, may we honor you as our Father. So we commit the message to you and the whole service to you and pray in Christ's name. Amen. So Abraham was destined, as we see here, to become a great person, to have a great heritage. God even said so. He said he's going to become a great and mighty nation. What a thing to say, that this one man is going to become a great and mighty nation. And, of course, that's Israel. What was going on here is the angels of God were sent down to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And they were wondering, should we tell Abraham what we're going to do? And what followed was Abraham pleading with God not to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, even though they were wicked. And then, of course, they went down and rescued Lot and his wife and daughters. But he did eventually destroy it because God couldn't even find the 10 righteous that Abraham had talked him into. He said, if you find 10 righteous, will you not destroy it? And God said, okay. And he destroyed it. So in a city of over 1 million, they couldn't find 10. How sad. But it was an opportunity for God also to stop and reflect on Abraham himself and all that God would do through him. But I want us just to look at Abraham as a person and see what we can draw from that for our own Christian walk, but also for fathers, and why Abraham was a great man. Because Abraham, as we'll see, is the one person in the entire Bible referred to as the friend of God. Imagine that. Of the millions of people that have been saved over the centuries, one person in the Bible is called the friend of God. And that's Abraham. So surely we can learn from him this morning. So God said there in verse 19, I know him. What did God mean by that? I know him. Well, I think we can learn a lot just from those three words, can't we? First of all, I think he was saying, I know him as one of my own, one that has trusted me. And we know that Abraham trusted the Lord because we're told so in the New Testament, that Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. But if you go to Matthew chapter 7, Jesus made it very clear that if we don't know him and if he doesn't know us, we won't go to heaven. And so what he's saying is that is I know him as one of my children, as one that has trusted me. And of course, this is the beginning of all of it. You cannot be a good father. You cannot even be a good person, because none of us are. You can't really accomplish anything until it starts here. And that is, you must know the Lord and he must know you as his own child. You must be born again. You must be saved. Notice here in Matthew 7, verse 22, Jesus speaking, he said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. There will be many at the judgment, and Jesus will say, I never knew you. I never knew you as one of mine. How sad. And these will be people that will be saying, but I did this, and I did this, and I did this. It's not about what we did, is it? It's about who we've trusted. It's about who we've come to for our salvation. And God says, I know him. I know Abraham as one of my children. Jesus said to my sheep, hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. In John chapter 10, he said, I know them. And God said, I know Abraham as one of my children. But not only did he know him as a child, but he also knew him as a servant. If you go to Genesis 26, we'll see this. But God was saying, I not only know him because he's one of mine, but I also know him because he is one that has chosen to now serve me. And sadly, there are many who know the Lord as their Savior, but that's where it stops. They haven't gone further and said, now I'm going to use what God has given me. I'm going to use eternal life. I'm going to use the gifts. I'm going to use his presence, and I'm going to serve him. I'm going to be his servant, and he's going to be my master. Notice Matthew 26, down in verse 24. The Bible says, and the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee and will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. God is speaking himself in this passage, and he refers to Abraham as my servant. By the way, that's one of the greatest compliments you could ever be paid by God in the Scriptures. You know, we look at the word servant often as a negative thing, but with God, it's a very positive thing. And God was saying of Abraham, I know him as my child, but I also know him as my servant. Does God know us, firstly, as his child? Are we born again? But secondly, have we chosen to serve him with our lives? We've been commanded to. But there's another reason why God said, I know him, and that's found in Genesis 22. And that is because God knew Abraham's character. Because God knows us, doesn't he? He knows everything about us. He knows our secrets. He knows what we're made of. He knows what we think about. He knows everything about us. And he knew that Abraham was a man of character. How do we know this? Because God, in four chapters from where we're at this morning, is going to test Abraham's character to the limit, isn't he? Imagine God coming to you in the night and saying, tomorrow I want you to sacrifice your firstborn son. I want you to kill him. That's what he did to Abraham. Chapter 22, look at verse 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. That was his response to God's command. He didn't say, why, Lord? He didn't question God. He didn't get angry. He just obeyed. And God knew this was the kind of man that Abraham was. He knew his character. Look at verse 5. And Abraham said unto his young men, arise ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Here he not only was obedient, but he was a man of faith. And then in verse 10 of chapter 22, and the Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. He was going to hold nothing back from God. Isaac was a gift. Remember, they were past childbearing age. And God came to them and said, well, I'm going to give you a child. And yes, they had to wait over 10 years, but he did keep his promise and give them Isaac. And Abraham's viewpoint was, well, it was a gift from God. It was a miraculous gift. If God wants him back, I've got to give him back. And God, of course, intervened, and there was a ram that took his place, but Abraham didn't know that was going to happen. And so God knew that Abraham was not only one of his children, one that has trusted him. Not only did he know him as a servant, not only did he know his character, but he also, number four, knew him as a friend. James 2, go there if you would. James chapter 2, verse 23. You know, God is everyone's God. Amen. He's your God, whether you acknowledge it or not. He is your creator. He is your God. God is not everyone's father, even though some people would like to believe that's true. It's not. Jesus told the Pharisees, "You're of your father, the devil." But if you're born again, he's not only your God, but he's your father. Then, if you choose to obey and follow him, then he is your master and your Lord. Now, he is anyway, but you've chosen to acknowledge that to be so through your obedience and your service. And that's three in the progression: God and Father and Lord. But then it gets really thin when you get down to this word, friend. Friend. Imagine being a friend with the Creator of the universe. It's possible. James 2:23, the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed on him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You know what Jesus said before he went to the cross? He said, ye are my friends, if. So there's an if statement there. He didn't say, just because you trust me, you're my friend. No. He says, ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. John 15:14. Ye are my friends if you obey me. Jesus is allowed to make that conditional because he is God and he is holy and he is righteous. He said, God says, I'm your father if you're saved, and I'm your Lord if you'll be my servant. But if you want to be my friend, you need to obey. And Abraham was a friend of God. And did you know it's even possible to be saved and be an enemy of God? Imagine that. While you're in James, look at chapter 4 and verse 4. The Bible says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. It is possible to be a born-again child of God, to be God's child, and yet still be his enemy. Imagine that. That's what God said. That if you're a friend of the world, you're the enemy of God. And how many Christians are good friends with the world? God said, I know him. I know him as my child. I know him as my servant. I know his character. And I know him, most beautifully, as a friend. And what a great example he was. And this should be the goal of every Christian and every father, that God would say, I not only know him as my child, I not only know him as my servant, I not only know that he has the character that I want, but I know him as my obedient friend. So moving on, Genesis 18, verse 19, God said, I know him. I know him as a child, as a servant. I know his character. I know him as a friend. But number five this morning, it says, and he will command his children and his household. He's going to take the lead in his home. And he's going to lead his family to follow me. But that word command means he's going to take charge. He's going to say, I'm the head of this home, and this home is going to follow God. And that is the kind of father God's looking for. You can read in Ephesians 5 about how the father is the head of the home as Christ is the head of the church. And he is to take that role seriously. But he is to command his household. He's to take charge and say, I'm in charge of this household. I am the pastor of this house. I am the leader of this home, and we're going to be followers of the Lord. And that is the kind of father God wants. This word command is a big word. If you go to Ephesians 6, verse 4, in the New Testament, God uses the word provoke not, but also nurture and admonition. Notice Ephesians 6, 4, and ye fathers, he specifically is speaking to fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Ye fathers, take charge, he says. Be like Abraham and command his household after him. To say, this home will be a godly home. This home will be a home that follows God. He will command his household and his children. And then it says in verse 19 of our passage, after him. I like that. He will command his children and his household after him. What does that mean? It means that he's not only going to say, this is what we're going to do, but I'm going to show you how to do it. I'm going to take the lead. Why do people send their kids to church? Why not take your kids to church? Amen? Take the lead. And say, this is what you're supposed to be doing. Not go do that, but I'm not going to do it. And Abraham didn't just say, we're going to be a follower of God. I'm going to be a follower of God. You know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Often we do need a visual example, someone to look up to. And Abraham said, I'm going to be that father. He's going to command his children and his household after him. He's going to take the lead and say, this is the way we're going to go. Go back to Proverbs 14, if you would, verse 26, where the Bible explains how powerful this truth is, that fathers need to not only declare that their home is going to be a follower of God, but they need to show that their home is going to be a follower of God through their own example. Proverbs 14, 26, and the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. Isn't that good? God says that children will feel safe in a home that is ruled by the fear of the Lord. And then while you're in Proverbs, look at chapter 20 and verse 7. The Bible says, the just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Isn't that good? Talks about integrity and how the children will be blessed because the father has integrity. He will command his children and his household after him. He won't just say, this is what we're going to do. He's going to say, let me show you what we're going to do. That's the kind of father Abraham was. And that's the kind of father God wants in every Christian father. And that's the kind of Christian he wants us all to be. People that say, I'm just going to be a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm going to obey him. I'm going to serve him. And I am going to be an example to others. And so number one this morning, I know him as a child of God. Number two, I know him as a servant. Number three, I know his character. Number four, I know him as a friend. Number five, I know that he will command his household. He will take the lead. And number six, I know that he will command them after him, that he will show them the way to go. But then verse 19, he goes on to say, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. See, God is talking future at this point, isn't he? In Genesis 18, They don't even have Isaac yet. But God is saying, time means nothing to me. I can see the future, and I can see that Abraham's household is going to be a household that's going to follow God. They're going to keep the way of the Lord. And you know, when you think about that command, he's going to take charge. He's going to be a godly father. He's going to follow the scriptures, and he's going to correct his children when they need it. And he's going to admonish them when they need it. And of course, he's going to be a loving father, but he's going to lead them. You know, Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord in Joshua 24:15. He says, I'm going to take the lead and take my family where they need to go. And that's the kind of father Abraham was going to be in this passage. It hadn't happened yet. But God said, I know this is what's going to happen. This is the kind of man Abraham's going to be. A man that's going to teach his, go to Deuteronomy 6. A man that's going to teach his children the ways of the Lord so that they can keep the ways of the Lord. Look at Deuteronomy 6:6. God said, I know this is the kind of father Abraham's going to be. It says, these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. That's the kind of father Abraham was going to be. He's going to diligently teach his children the way of the Lord. Train up a child on the way he should go, and when he's old he will not depart from it, Proverbs 22:6. And then if you look at 1 Corinthians 14, verse 35... what he's basically saying is that Abraham will be the pastor of his home, which is what God desires of every father, that he be the pastor of his home. How do we know this? Look what it says here in 1 Corinthians 14. I'm not trying to pick on the women. This is in the scriptures. But verse 34, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not prevented unto them to speak. That they're commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law, verse 35. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. Now, what is the implication there? That if she wants to learn more of God's word, who's she supposed to ask? It says her husband. Amen. Which means he has a responsibility to know the word well enough to be able to answer the questions. And that was the kind of man that God saw in Abraham. They shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. He's going to be the pastor of his home. And God wants every father to be the pastor of his home. And it's okay if sometimes he wants to call the pastor. That's fine. But he shouldn't have to every time, because he should be in the Word himself, studying, learning the Scriptures, so that when his wife has the questions, he has the answers. And it's not on YouTube or the internet either. It's in God's Word. Amen. But he's the pastor of his home. So what a beautiful example. God just said, I know him. I know this man. I'm about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm about to rescue his nephew. But I know this man, and I'm going to tell him what I'm going to do. And that gave Abraham, of course, an opportunity to say, Lord, please don't destroy the cities. He said, I know him. I know Abraham. I know that he's my child. I know him as a servant. I know him because I know his character. But I also know that he's one of my friends. Because he's going to take his household, and he's going to command them, and he is going to lead them, and he's going to be the pastor of his home. What a great example. Wouldn't it be great if we knew that God would say that about us? I know him. I know her. I know. As I look ahead, God says, 5-10 years from now, I know they're going to still be serving the Lord. I know they're going to be closer to me. I know they're going to be leading their family to serve the Lord. I know them. That should be our desire, is to have that testimony that Abraham had. I know him. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this beautiful passage, this beautiful example in the life of Abraham, and I pray